Welcome to the Right Division Network podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. I would like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word Rightly Divided. We're continuing today going through the book of 1 Thessalonians. We are here in chapter number 2. We've been looking at verse number 17, which says, "But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire." And we looked at last time some of these things, talking about how Paul, Silas, and Timothy are identifying this thing of them being taken away from these individuals, that they did not have that ability as a result of what had gone on to be able to have this fellowship with them, and that even though they were separated from them by presence, we're going to pick up where we left off, where Paul's saying that, you know, even though it's a short time in presence, that's not in heart. That the inner man of Paul still had this desire for them, and that they were still looking at them, you know, as members of the body of Christ, still want, you know, feeling that they had this relationship with them, to where they could say that they had this emotional tie to them, despite all of the distance that actually was there. And, you know, the fact that they lacked the ability to actually have that physical contact, they were able to say that they still were had this feeling of that we can have this relationship with them. And this is what we, as the members of the body of Christ, should be striving for, and to say that we can have this same thing going on in our relationships with other members of the body of Christ, whether they're local with us, whether they are, you know, in another state, if they're, you know, all the way across the country, or even if they're on the other side of the world, that we can have this ability to say that we can have this relationship. And we can do that through various different things, that we can reach out to them, you know, and have contact, whether we do it by phone, whether we do it by things, you know, related to the internet, you know, it's email, social media, all these different ways that we can truly have this type of contact with individuals to demonstrate the heart feeling that we still have for these members of the body of Christ. Because we've looked and spoke about how all the members of the body are all part of that family that's going to be together for all of eternity in the heavenly places. Our prayer life should reflect the relationship that we have with the individuals, that we have that care for the members of the body to be praying for them. You see over and over in Paul's life how he demonstrated that prayer for them. He talks about how he prayed for, and he lists all these different individuals, and he talks about how he prayed for all these different assemblies, and even demonstrates how it is that he was praying for them in those manners. We can actually attempt to work together with other members of the body to actually be trying to get this message of the dispensation of the grace of God out to individuals. So we can work on getting the gospel, the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures, and someone putting their trust in that and that alone is what gives salvation today. we could work together on the issue of helping the members of the body of Christ get to the point of where they're coming unto the knowledge of the truth. Those things that fit into what the will of God actually is. Now, unfortunately, what the tendency of man is to try to create all the different things that would actually prevent people from working together. And most of those things that we create, it's man's creation of things, creating these divisions that the Word of God wouldn't actually create, to say that we can't work with someone, and really hampering the spread of the message of this dispensation. You know, I can think of as an example with this, you know, there's a city that's about an hour away from Buffalo, New York, where there are at least three different assemblies where individuals understand the gospel message for today, and yet these three assemblies cannot work together under any circumstances, all because of these divisions that they've created amongst themselves, rather than having the understanding that they're all members of the body of Christ and they should be working together to get this message out. They don't have the right heart attitude about these other members of the body. We can demonstrate this by continuing to stand for the doctrine that the Apostle Paul says that we should be doing. You know, the example that you can look at that Paul would give of what we're supposed to be doing here, I'm going to read 2 Timothy chapter number 1, verses 13 and 14 here, which say, "Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in us." And over in 2 Timothy, the last epistle that Paul writes, you see how Paul has to keep saying about standing for the truth, because so many people were going away from what it was that Paul was teaching, all because of the different things that were going on, and feeling that it was going to be easier for them to walk away from the truth. And that's why, you know, Paul's having to call it the form of sound words, the doctrine that is contained in Romans through Philemon that applies to us today. That's what we're to be holding fast to, knowing that this is what we should be studying, what we should be teaching to others. Yes, we can look at other passages in the Bible. We can have an understanding of the doctrine that applied to the people it was written to, but we also have that understanding that it's not to us, and knowing how to answer things when people try to apply the things that should not apply to somebody today when it's being taken out of context. We should be working to edify one another, you know, trying to build each other up, rather than what the natural man would do. And the natural man tries to tear each other down, tries to put whoever it is that we're encountering, put them down, so that way we can, if we put them down, then we're being built up. That's what the feeling is with it, rather than what the real idea is, that we should be building each other up. Because as we're building them up, then they're working and kind of build us up as well. And everybody is growing as a result of it. That's the proper heart attitude that we are supposed to have. The whole issue becomes that that's not what is really seen in individuals today. What's actually seen, as we go over here to Ephesians chapter number 4, we're going to see what Paul says here about the things going on in the individual. And here in Ephesians chapter number 4, we're going to read here verses 17 and 18. says, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart." And you see how Paul is contrasting the members of the body of Christ to, as he says, walk not as other Gentiles walk. The unsaved individuals are walking in this way to where their understanding is darkened. There's a blindness of their heart, all because the doctrine has not been able to take root in them because they have not accepted the gospel message for today. And once a person does accept the gospel message, then the Word of God can actually work in them, can actually build them up as God intends for that to happen. Unfortunately, so many people fall into this category of having their understanding darkened and their blindness of their heart because of their lack of salvation. You see, Paul also brings this up. If we turn back to Romans chapter number 1, we're going to see him describe this same thing here in the first epistle that's laid out for us of Paul's epistles, Romans chapter number 1. We're going to start here at verse number 18, and we're going to read down through verse number 23 to get a description here of what Paul's saying. And it says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, into birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things." And you see how Paul describes this condition of, is when he's saying that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. That the natural man outside of the things of God can be described in this manner to where the heart is described as being foolish because it's all outside of who God is. They know who God is, but they're not glorifying him as God. They're not thankful to him for everything that he's done. They don't understand the doctrine that's been given to us, and as a result, the only thing that they can be seen as being fools, that they change the things of God, trying to benefit themselves, and the result is that they're going to have no benefits that's going to come upon them as a result of what it is that they're doing. That's the description that we see the Apostle Paul gives related to the things of the heart being outside of the things of God. Now, you do see Paul actually make a few references in his epistles related to when a person is doing the things in line with the doctrine that's been given to the Apostle Paul. We can go over to Ephesians chapter number 5 for a moment, and we're going to see here something that Paul is going to say related to this. And in Ephesians chapter number 5, we're going to read here starting at verse number 18, and we're going to go down through verse number 21. It says, "And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And you see how, as Paul's describing this, he's contrasting the idea of someone being drunk with wine in excess and contrasting it with being filled with the Spirit, both of those things with the idea of what it is that's guiding and having the influence on the person's life. Because if somebody's drunk with wine, that's what's having the influence on them, and they're going to act and respond and do all sorts of things in a certain way. If a person is being filled with the Spirit, they're going to respond and act in a certain way. And that's what verses 19, 20, and 21 are actually making a reference to when somebody is being filled with the Spirit. And you see how Paul describes it in verse 19, which we'll read again, when he says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. That's what is supposed to go on in the life of a believer today. That there's supposed to be this idea of the singing. And you see how in the book of Colossians, which has a passage that is very similar to this, that talks about how those things actually teach someone. That these songs are supposed to actually teach some doctrinal things, and which means that they should be lining up with the doctrine of God's word, rightly divided, so that way as it's teaching an individual, that it's all lining up with what the proper heart attitude is supposed to be for the individual. We see here, as long as we're in the book of Ephesians, let's go over to chapter number 6, and we're going to see Paul say something very similar here. So we're going to read verses 5 and 6 of Ephesians chapter number 6, and it would say, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. So the things that is it's describing what the servants are supposed to be doing here, it's talking about how all of that is supposed to be coming from the inside of the individual. You know, you see how the Lord Jesus Christ identifies some of those things, you know, over in the book of Matthew, when it talks about out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So the things that are inside of the individual, that's what's going to come out. So if what's inside of an individual is all the things that are contrary to who God is, that's what's going to come out of them. If what's inside of the individual is the doctrine that's laid out in Romans through Philemon, that's what's going to come out. And if it's the doctrine that's inside of the person, as it's coming out, the person's going to be living the life that God intends, which is going to include the things of the care for the fellow members of the body of Christ. The things that Paul is identifying in the book of 1 Thessalonians as he's describing the relationship that Paul, Silas, and Timothy had with them and how they had this care for these individuals even when they were outside of having that, you know, close relationship with them because they were being kept from seeing these people at that time. And with that, they still had this care and that they wanted to actually be able to see them in that manner. Let's go over to 2 Timothy chapter number 2. We're going to see Paul say something to Timothy about how he's supposed to be living here. We're going to read verses 20 through 22 of 2 Timothy chapter number 2. And it says, "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart." So as he's instructing Timothy on that these are the things that he's supposed to be doing, he listed as that he should be doing the same things that these individuals that he identifies them as, them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So he's supposed to be looking for these individuals that have this same attitude, this same knowledge of the doctrine, and use them as an example of what it is that he should be doing in his life. And the things of the heart, you can see how Paul describes something here. I want to go over to Philippians chapter number 1 to look at something here that Paul says. And we're going to read in Philippians chapter number 1, verse 7, where it says, "Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace." And so you see how Paul, as he's describing his relationship with the saints in Philippi, he describes and he says that he has them in his heart. And when you go through this epistle, you see exactly what that means, because you see how Paul talks about that he sends Timothy unto them in order for him to find out exactly what is going on with them, so that way he can make sure that they are continuing to stand for the word of God rightly divided, and continuing to have this relationship with God that he saw that they had when he was ministering with them. And because he had this care, he wanted to make sure that they were doing these things. And so he sends Timothy, a like-minded individual, to look after them to see, okay, are you doing these things? Because if you are, great. And if you're not, then I'm sending someone who's going to be able to help get you back on that right path to make sure you're doing the things that God intends. Now, we'll continue looking at this verse during our next episode. And as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have audio files of our Sunday services. We have information about how to watch our Sunday services live as they're being broadcast on Facebook as well. We have information about how to join our Wednesday night Bible study through a conference call option as well, so that way you can participate in our studies, looking at things, whether we're looking at the book of Philippians when Pastor Reed is teaching, or looking at Peter's epistles when I've been teaching on Wednesday nights. You can join in with those as well. And as always, if you ever have any questions, comments about anything in our broadcast, anything that you read on our website, we would love to hear from each and every one of you. And until next time, keep fighting the good fight of faith, pressing towards a mark to get this gospel out to this lost and dying world.